talking about, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit, although the Holy Spirit is involved in that. I think that the Holy Spirit becomes a part of our worship. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, when we are praying, He gives us words. Excuse me. He gives us words that we cannot come up with. It's going to be impossible. He gives us words that we cannot. So it's a reflection of our heart. It's our inner man. It's the Spirit. When we're worshiping Him out of our heart, out of a heart of gratitude for what He's done in our life. Have you been to that place? No, really, have you been to that place? Where God did something in your family that just caught your attention, that you knew it was the work of God. You knew the Lord was the one that did it. I visited a lady in the hospital. It's been several years ago now. Her family was involved in a horrible car crash back several years ago, over on 65 near Marshall. And this crane or something had come off this truck and crushed their car. And that family was, Shane knows that family well, but I was in Springfield and I went by and visited this lady. I'd preached a revival in their church, and so I knew her some, but she'd gone through all these surgeries. They had literally wired her face together, her jaws together, and she could not open her mouth. She could talk, but she couldn't open her mouth. And she just, when I walked in the room, she began to praise God. She wasn't praising me, but just praise began to come out of her mouth. And she said, "It's the Lord, it's the Lord, it's the Lord. I'm here because of the Lord." She knew that the only way that she'd been able to live was because of the Lord. We visited Gary Tranham, and Gary Blackburn, Ronnie Blackburn yesterday in the nursing home, and Larie was there. And many of you know that family and some of the terrific things that they've gone through in the last few months. But we didn't even get sat down until she began to give testimony about what God had done in her life. And it was just an expression right out of her heart. She hadn't practiced something to say to people. I mean, it was coming directly from her heart. And it was just bubbling out of her. And so, the Lord is looking for folks to worship out of spirit, out of the depths of their heart. Secondly, He uses the word truth. And here, I believe that when He uses the word truth, He's talking about a reflection of our own life. Do you remember Jesus said that He Himself was truth? I'm the way, the what? The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And at His trial, and Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Well, Jesus Himself is the truth. He's truth. It's a reflection of our life. The true worship comes from an overflow from our heart of true love for the Lord. And when we talk about this truth, it means the real thing. It's not a put-on. It's not a show. It's a real thing. It's a reflection of what's going on in our life. Now, there is not a way. Are you hearing me today? There's not a way for you and I to be involved in worship. Are you hearing me? There is not a way for you and I to be involved in worship and for there to be sin in our life. for there to be something else going on that is gathering our attention other than the Lord. Now you say, well now, Brother Lanny, everyone sins. And that's true. We do all sin. But we're not involved in habitual sin all of the time. We sin, and we sin by wrong thoughts and wrong motives and wrong actions and wrong words. But as a Christian, the Holy Spirit blows the whistle and we repent. But when you know that there is a sin going on in your life, the man who is hooked on pornography will never, ever experience worship in that state. The woman or man who are involved in an affair will never, ever experience worship as long as they're in that state. The boy or girl, young man or young woman that's cheating at school will never experience worship as long as they stay in that state. Are you hearing me today? Is that making sense? Because here the Bible says that we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He's not looking for someone to put on a show. Go to Branson and get that. He's looking for someone that will worship Him. He is challenging us. He is calling us. He is pulling us to Himself. Those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Number two. Now there's lots of illustrations in the Scripture about people worshiping. David came to my mind immediately. And perhaps he did yours. Now when you think about David's worship, look with me over at 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. You remember what this story talks about? You know what had taken place in David's life here? Now remember, David's a man after God's own heart. I would never want folks to gather from my preaching that God wasn't a God of second chances. You and I have had plenty of those. We know He's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and on and on. David had committed adultery. He had committed murder. And Nathan comes to David and he tells him a story. He says to David, this family had a sheep, a little baby sheep, a little lamb. Maybe it had been orphaned. We don't know what had taken place. But the family had taken that little sheep into their home and raised it like one of their family. They had a rich neighbor. And the rich neighbor, some way, I don't know if he stole the lamb or if they owed him and he collected on a debt and he took the lamb. We don't know the consequences. We don't know the circumstances of that. But he had, the Bible says, a wayfarer, just somebody traveling through the land, come to his house, and instead of taking, and he was rich, but instead of taking of his own stuff, he went next door and he got the lamb that was so precious to this family, and he killed it and he fed it to the stranger that was traveling through the land. That made David so mad. He said, "Where's he at? He'll pay fourfold for taking that lamb." And Nathan put that prophetic finger in the face of the king and said, "David, you are the man." Now this is what I love about David. David repents. When the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart, when David is confronted, he repents. He doesn't blame someone else. He doesn't say it was whoever built the house, it was their fault. They built it too high. He didn't say that it was because my wives weren't meeting my needs. He didn't give some kind of excuse. He repented before the Lord. But you know the story. He takes Uriah's wife as his wife. She's pregnant from the affair. The baby is born, and the baby is sick. And so David fasts and he prays all the time that the child is sick. And then he notices that the servants are whispering around him. And he perceives that the child has died. And he says to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "The child is dead." Now, what do you suppose is taking place in David's life? Well, his own sin has brought that about. But he prays that God would spare the child's life. For days, he prays that God would spare the child's life. And God chose not to. So he's in the midst of sorrow. And he's in the midst of repentance. And then the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 12 in verse 19. "But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, 'Is the child dead?' And they said, 'He is dead.' Then David arose from the earth, and he washed and anointed himself, and he changed his apparel, and he came unto the house of the Lord," and what's that next word? "And he worshiped." Is that good stuff? I mean, what do we do when we worship? What takes place in our life when we come to that place of worship? It doesn't tell us what all took place here. But I just think that whenever we come, when we're worshiping in sorrow, we come to a place of renewal where God Himself washes our feet. And He gives us strength to go on. He encourages us. It's like the place whenever the Lord, what, I just give up. It is like the place when the Lord is being tempted by the devil. You know the story? And the devil comes to him. He has fasted for 40 days. And the devil has come to him and he said, "Well, make these stones into bread." And I won't go through all the process, but you know how many different ways that the devil had tried to get Jesus to prove that he was the Son of God, and on and on. You know, the Bible says, if you just follow that story through, the Bible says that the devil left him. Now listen to this very closely. The devil left him for a season. Now, when the devil is working you over, that doesn't mean that he's going to stay gone. You get the victory there in that one time, but he doesn't stay gone. But this is what the scripture says. That the angels came. Do you remember this? That the angels came and ministered unto him. You know, I think that in the midst of sorrow and suffering, in the midst of our trial, that most of the time that you and I have not stayed in a place and worshiped until the angels have come and ministered to us through meeting our needs. We have to repent. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to, what's that next word? Is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you and I, if we're going to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, that second part of that truth has to be through clean hands. True worship can only come from the heart. Look with me over in the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter. Look at verse 8. When Jesus is speaking here, and he's seeing this multitude of people who claim to be religious, and he says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips." Ain't nothing to that. I mean, anybody can have the words. Anyone can learn the words. And we can even hear what other people have said. And we can say what other people have said to make us sound religious or make us sound spiritual. We were up here getting ready to sing one morning, and Luke said, "Let's get this show on the road." He heard someone else say that. We can repeat what we hear someone else say, but that does not make us spiritual because we can use the spiritual words. These people, they draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain. What does that mean? In vain. It's worthless worship. It's worthless worship. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Psalms 24. I'm hurrying. Psalms 24. Right in the middle of your Bible. And look at verse 3 and verse 4. "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place?" Now this is what I think that this verse means. That there is a place of worship where we're in the presence of the Lord. We sing that song, we come into His house, we're gathered in His name to worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify the Lord and worship Him. But is that worship? Is what we're doing worship? There's a place of worship. There is a place that you and I enter into that is a place of worship. I don't believe that I can be in that place and there be a half a dozen other things on my mind at that time. Now I want you to know I struggle with that. It's hard for me to keep my mind on track. It is hard for me to stay in a place where God can speak to me because I get so distracted so easily. Somebody be trying to talk to me and I'll be looking over their shoulder at something that's going on in behind them somewhere. And that really aggravates people. But there's a place. There's a place. And here, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. We've come to the place that what is this that you put on furniture on the outside of it to try to make it look better?
Veneer.
The what?
Thank you.
Veneer.
Oh.
Thank you. The veneer has been stripped away and the real thing is there. Here's where the veneer has been moved away and the condition of the heart is exposed. And he says in verse 4, "He that hath clean hands," and what's that next thing? "And a pure heart, who not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully." And he gives a list of things there. Finally, number three, the height of worship is when we give to God that which is most precious to us. When we are willing to give to God that which is most precious to us. Are you hearing me today? Am I making any sense? When you and I come to this place of those things that are precious to us, and we're willing to give that to the Lord. A man asked his neighbor, if you had 100 pigs, would you give me one of them? Well, he said, if I had 100, I'd give you one. He said, if you had 50, would you give me one? And he said, if I had 50, he said, I'd give you one. He said, if you had 2, would you give me one? He said, that's not fair. You know I've got 2 hogs.